Welcome to Parenting Matters on Nashville Catholic Radio, WBOU 100.5 FM, sponsored by the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Nashville. Your host for the program is Dr. Parr Donahue. Dr. Parr has years of experience in pediatrics and parenting. He was named the Senior Pediatrician of the Year by the Tennessee Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2014. Dr. Parr is the author of four books, including books on parenting entitled Messengers in Denim, The Amazing Things Parents Can Learn from Teens, and Tools for Effective Parenting. Visit Dr. Parr's blog at www.parentingwithdrparr.com. Here's your host, Dr. Parr Donahue.
Welcome to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org. Our topic today, making marriage work for couples and children. Our guest is Miss Danielle Bean. I'll introduce her in a moment, but first my monologue. Several weeks ago, I had the privilege of listening to an interview of Bishop Spalding at Cumberland University. The last question to him hit on the apogee of today's global problems. What is the biggest threat to the church today? He was asked. Bishop answered, and I'll paraphrase, there are two threats today. First, secularism. By that, I mean the attitude that we don't need God or religion. Some people are atheists, but most believe in a God of some sort, or at least of a being who oversees the world. But it's the I'm spiritual, not religious attitude that is most dangerous. Religion, he said, is a team sport. It takes community to do the will of God, and that community begins with the family. As we see families falling apart through cheating, loss of interest in the other, false belief that marriage actually is, and unwillingness to sacrifice for another, all these then end up with divorce. With the other couples who live together without marriage, all of these are situations which lead to children without a moral compass based on a belief in God. Worship of God has been replaced by sports, entertainment, and the social media. People need time with others, others to worship with, to love, and to hold them accountable. And I would add, personally, friends don't let friends drive drunk or have extramarital affairs. People need other people, and people need God. As Bishop was talking, I couldn't help but think of Pascal's famous quote, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man, which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God, the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. Bishop Spalding believes the second threat is relativism. He discussed it at length, and Sunday our priest, Father Anthony, continued Bishop's answer with his analysis of Oprah's interview of Meghan and Prince Harry. How many of you watched it, he asked, and a few hands went up. Well, I said, I watched it, and I groaned out loud when Oprah asked Meghan to let us hear her truth. There is only one truth, and that truth that both Bishop Spalding and Father Anthony referred to is Jesus Christ. Each also rightly claimed that there is objective truth, not your truth and my truth, his truth, their truth, not partial truth, not one truth better than another, only one truth. There is objective truth. A thing is true or not true. I would add that this secularism and relativism are destroying not only the church, but also civilization, our country, and the free world. But that's a discussion for another day. Suffice it to say that parents need to conduct themselves and their family in a way that teaches objective truth and hold themselves and their children accountable to that truth. To that end, I have invited Miss Danielle Bean to our show. Danielle was born and raised in New Hampshire, earned her bachelor's in sociology at St. Anselm College. She is the author of several books, a public speaker, and broadcaster. The former editor-in-chief of Catholic Digest and other magazines, she currently serves as brand manager for Catholic Mom blog. She has been married to Dan Bean for 26 years, and together they have 8 children, ages 14 to 25. The family worships at St. John's Borromeo Roman Catholic Church in Meredith, New Hampshire. Welcome, Ms. Bean, to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to be here with you today.
Well, your CV is extensive. I hardly know where to start. But let's begin with what I think, in my mind, is your greatest accomplishment, your family. Mm. You have 8 children. Tell us about them.
Yeah, so yes, I totally agree with you. Whatever else I do, that's the most important work I do and have ever done. So absolutely the heart of all the work that I do is my vocation as a wife and as a mom. And so, yeah, my husband Dan and I have 8 children. They range in ages from 14 to 26. And they're all packed into those years, right? So we had some intense years when they were all very young. So
you did.
at this stage, though, I'm at a different stage of life, a different stage of parenting, where some of my kids are older. I've got 2 who are now married, no grandchildren yet, but we're anticipating that in the years to come. And we've got one who's out of the house working full-time. We've got kids in college. Very much an emptying nest and a quieter stage of life right now. We have just 4 right now who are home full-time throughout the year.
Wow, that's so exciting. How did you manage to get so much done besides taking care of your kids?
Well, I don't do anything by myself, right? It's all by the grace of God. And I've always endeavored to have every piece of work I might ever take on, any project I might ever do, before that purpose, God's greater glory, building God's kingdom here on earth. And in some ways, I think I've succeeded in doing that. Some ways I've really failed at doing that, but it's been a learning process through the years. And again, I have the support of my family. I have a wonderfully supportive husband. I have an extended family that I was blessed to be raised one of 9 children myself. So I have the blessing of that background, that foundation. My parents are both still living. And I just have a very supportive network of people who encouraged and inspired my faith, but also encouraged and inspired my work every step of the way.
Good. How many, where do you fit in that group of 9?
I'm the 4th, so very much a middle child, but I did make that cutoff. You know, whenever my parents would say the big kids can do this, it was the 4 oldest who could do that. But it came with a set of responsibilities as well.
Well, I also had 8 siblings, 7 sisters.
Wow.
I was number 3 and my brother was number 4. And then there was a gap, but then there were 5 more, I guess. And we used to say the big 3 and Lenny Tingle.
I love that. I love that big families work that way, right? Okay. They have a unique dynamic.
A lot of fun. I noticed in one of your blogs, interviews, you said that it was on why teens need Catholic fiction. Mm-hmm. Is Catholic fiction different from non-Catholic fiction?
Well, not essentially, but I mean, that was a fun interview to do. I got the chance to talk with Carolyn Asfalk and Leslie Wall, who are 2 Catholic writers that are producing fiction specifically for teens. Not all of their work is for teens, but they're aimed at that demographic. And really what they share and what other Catholic writers share inside of fiction that's aimed toward teens is really stories that are told from a Catholic worldview. They aren't explicitly, you know, all about going to church or the sacraments or whatnot, but that might be incorporated in some of the stories. But it is told from an authentically Catholic point of view, which I, as a parent, find so vitally important. You know, if you go to your local library and look at the young adult section, there's so much garbage that is aimed directly at our kids' hearts, aimed at forming them into citizens of the world rather than citizens of Christ's kingdom. So we need to be cautious and prudent as parents, and we need to be discerning about what we will bring into our kids' lives and allow them to be inspired by, encouraged by. I know I'm the mom of several kids who during their teen years were voracious readers. They wanted to read everything they could get their hands on. So if you've got a teen like that in your life, you need to be feeding them good things that are going to build their souls and inspire them toward virtue.
There's nothing better for kids than reading.
Just absolutely. Nothing.
It's just the best. Another one of your posts, well, first let me say, I agree 100%. We need to have some Catholic literature in our house. It's just like we have other Catholic sacramentals.
Right.
In the interview with Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas, he is an outspoken supporter of the unborn child, Orthodox faith and morals, and reforming the Catholic institutions. I was 100% sold on what he said until I got to reforming. Do you think our church needs reforming, and are we on the wrong path? Or what needs to be done? I mean, it's a little bit, straighten me out.
Yeah, I think in some ways, for sure, we need reform. And, you know, look at the sexual scandals, or look at the money mismanagement, the scandal of the day that's coming out from our church in various ways. And that can be very discouraging to people. But what I really love about what Bishop Joseph Strickland shared with me in that particular interview, and what's at the heart of what he shares in his book, which is Light and Leaven, a 21st Century Challenge for the Laity, is that we, the laity, are called to be part of the change that we want to see in the church, that we can't just sit back and complain about what's going on in the church today and be disillusioned by it and use that as an excuse to just cop out of all of it. But he's really looking to encourage people to be empowered with the fact that we can make change, we can demand change, we can demand accountability, and we can take on that very important work of raising the next generation of Catholics inside of our homes and our family lives, taking that seriously, you know, looking to build our domestic churches, looking to firm up the faith lives of our children and teach them in the beautiful traditions of our church, because of course, at its heart, the church is founded by Jesus Christ. It is the church, the one true way, the meant to be a means of help to us as we work toward our salvation. Jesus gave it to us as a great gift, still is that great gift. So no, we don't need to throw it all out and start over, but we do need to be a part of the process of reforming the ways that we educate, especially future generations. You know, the old ways of CCD class from the 1970s or 1980s, Bishop Joseph Strickland is pretty critical of those methods. And I find it really encouraging and empowering the way that he reminds us that we are meant to be a part of the change that we're hoping to see inside of the church today.
Well, we can't expect the teens to learn something from us that we don't know.
Right.
I mean, we have to know it first, and then we can teach. But I thought this very interesting. Well, I want to talk more about this later on in the show if we get time.
Sure.
But you're coming to Nashville one of these days.
Yes.
With the Togetherness, Together in Holiness. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. That's going to be Saturday, May 8th. We're going to have this. Together in Holiness is a unique marriage conference that's put together by the St. John Paul II Foundation, which is based in Houston, Texas. I've had the privilege of working with them on and off throughout the years, and they put on these conferences in various areas throughout the country, really aimed toward building up Catholic couples inside of their identity as Catholics, but then also teaching them how to love one another in very practical ways, in ways that are deeply meaningful inside of your everyday life, inside of your everyday habits as a couple. I find these conferences to be so encouraging because sometimes I'll go to a conference and I'll hear a great speaker maybe talking about the importance of marriage and I'll feel all inspired, but then I feel like there isn't, so what do I do? Like, I want to know what to do. I want to know how to put these things into practice. And I find that the Together in Holiness does a great job of not only inspiring us and informing us, educating us about the beautiful teachings of our church with regard to the sacrament of marriage, but then giving us tools that we can put into practice right away to love our spouses better, to raise our families in the faith, and to be firmed up in our identity as sons and daughters of God.
I think it sounds so exciting. Now, one of my long-held parenting mantras is be the person you want your kids to become.
Mm-hmm.
Does that fit into your teaching?
Oh, definitely. Yes, I think that there's nothing more powerful than a good example. And I know from my own experience growing up, I shared that I was blessed to grow up in a large family with faith-filled parents. And I know my own parents' faith lives were instrumental in firming up my own faith. And in my young adult years where maybe I was thinking about, questioning some of the things, some of the morals that I was raised with, or examining some of the teachings of the church more closely, trying to come to a greater understanding of it, I was very aware always that my parents had set that example for me. My dad, he was a philosophy professor for over 40 years. He has this amazing mind, this beautiful, genius intellect. And I admired him in so many ways. But seeing the example of him, this man that I respect and admire and is so accomplished in so many ways, on his knees in prayer, saying the rosary every night, what a beautifully solid example of faith that was for me, that faith and reason go together. And just the way that my parents raised us to be open to questions. They were always open to our questions. The church isn't afraid of questions. The church has answers for us. We find our answers in Jesus Christ. So I found that that was a really, really beautiful way of them setting this example of openness, and one that I've strived to emulate in my own parenting with my kids, an openness to questions and not being afraid of someone who might express some form of doubt, but exploring things together, knowing, as you were saying in your opening monologue, that there's one truth, that the truth can be known and we can find it out together, that there is a truth and we can know it together. What a beautiful gift to be able to give to your kids.
Isn't that great? You know, it's the kids don't stop asking questions unless you stop answering them.
That's a good point. Yeah. I think that is absolutely correct. So always, you know, and sometimes parents get afraid because we think, I don't have all the answers. I don't know. I'm not a theologian. I'm not an apologist, but we can find those things out together. I think that's
a good answer.
Yeah, exactly.
I know my good friend John and Terry Bozio are going to be at the conference with you. And we're going to be doing a show with them week after next, I think it is, Tom. So we're going to bring them in to let listeners know who they are as well.
Wonderful.
So John was the president of Nashville Catholic Radio, and he's the one who got me to do this radio show. So he's a good friend. He's a neat guy.
You have a long history together. I like that.
Yeah. Now, who is your intended audience for May 8th conference?
Yeah, well, we're looking to reach Catholic couples from all walks of life. You know, if you're early in marriage and you've got little kids, there's childcare available. So we've made accommodations for that. If you're older in your marriage, many times at these conferences, we'll have couples attend that have, you know, they're empty nesters and they're kind of looking at each other and saying, what now? You know, and you don't have to be struggling in your marriage to benefit from this conference, although there's plenty there for folks who are looking for resources to firm them up and help them through some of the challenging times in marriage. But this is really looking to renew and inspire you inside of your vocation to marriage and really just remind ourselves. We all need reminders. Life gets busy. We get distracted. All of a sudden we fall into routines. We start taking one another for granted. We may not pause often enough and reflect on the fact that this is a sacrament that we've entered into with this other person. And I am meant to be bringing this other person to heaven. That's my goal here. And their goal is to be bringing me to heaven. And so kind of renewing our knowledge of that, but then looking at practical ways that we can do that better and learning from one another. One of the greatest things that I think happens at these Together in Holiness conferences is couples have the opportunity to meet other couples like them, people that live in their area that maybe they haven't met before. They might go to a different parish or whatever, but they can meet other people who are also interested in firming up their marriage or also interested in deepening their knowledge of their Catholic faith.
I think one of the things that you just almost touched on is what Bishop Spalding said, that religion, Catholicism especially, is a team effort. It takes a team to build a community, and that team is the family. And of course, family includes your neighbors, your kids' neighbors, your friends, and it gets bigger as we think about it. So very good. I'm so impressed with your organization and organizations that try to improve the life of families, decrease divorce, and help people end up on the bright side of the pearly gates. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
I'm reminded way back in the 50s of the Catholic Family Movement, CFM. Have you ever heard of that?
I have, yes. Yeah.
And it was popular. I went to some conferences with them when I was in high school. It was very good, but it sort of faded away. And it was replaced by the family that prays together, stays together. And I thought they did a lot of good. But in spite of all these attempts, we're still seeing an increasing number of couples end up in divorce. Mm-hmm. We're seeing couples living together, never married. How does your family differ from these? And I do expect different results than that.
Yeah. I think it's really important for us as couples ourselves, but then also as we're teaching our kids about what marriage is and what to expect from marriage and maybe what to look for in a future spouse, is reminding ourselves that marriage is a vocation. You know, our culture gets it all wrong. They think it's, you know, all about the big party on the wedding day. It's about being together for as long as you want to be together. But if you fall out of love, then you move on to the next thing. And, you know, I think that that's really a sad setup that we have. We're setting people up for failure in that way. I became very aware of it when some of my children themselves were preparing for marriage. And I became more aware of what our culture's message is to young couples. And the idea of permanence is just gone. the idea, you know, that they're encouraged to seek someone who, quote unquote, makes you happy. And I think that's a terrible idea. Of course, you're going to be happy with somebody that you're in love with and planning to be married to. But if you're focused on finding someone who makes you happy, then you're going to wind up disappointed, because we're all human beings. We're flawed. You're going to marry a flawed human being, and they're going to wind up disappointing you at some point. And it's at that point that the permanence of marriage really becomes the gift that God intends for it to be, because that's the permanence of the bond, of the promise that you make before God to be together forever, is what sees you through those hard times. Because if otherwise, as soon as the other person isn't making you happy, you're encouraged by our culture, for sure, to move on to the next thing, move on to the next person who might make you happy, until that person doesn't, right? Because everybody is going to fall short. Jesus alone, God alone, is our source of happiness, and it's in Him alone that we're going to find our ultimate fulfillment. Marriage is about making a gift of yourself to the other person and helping them on their way to heaven. So I very much tried, inside of my conversations with my kids about this especially, to be firming them up in that idea of vocation. And we need to be doing that for one another. Vocation is going to be sacrificial. It's not always going to feel good. And it's not about how you feel in the end. It's a choice to make a gift of yourself to the other person and to pour yourself out in love for the sake of another, imitating our Lord's example that we're about to experience through Holy Week of pouring out Himself on the cross out of love for every one of us. That's what marriage is. And you'll never read that on the cover of a magazine standing in the checkout aisle.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding. I used to jokingly say, well, the wedding lasts longer than the marriage. And until one of our nurses got married, and when she got her pictures back from the photographer, they were already separated.
Oh, that's terrible.
It happened. The wedding lasted longer than the marriage.
Right. So
I have been involved with teaching parents as a pediatrician for decades. And I've written a couple of books about it, and I've had seminars and conferences and everything. It seems to me that those people who really need parenting instructions are never there. And you end up, at least I feel sometimes I'm talking to the choir, and I learn as much from the parents who are there more than I taught them. But am I just a frustrated old negative thinking pessimist or what?
Well, I would say don't underestimate the power of the grace of God, but you know, all things are possible through God, and we need to be focused on that. But I can understand feeling, you know, disillusioned sometimes, or feeling like the right people aren't listening. But I think we can focus as Catholics and as a church on building up our own people in the faith, and making sure that, you know, parents who are bringing their children to be baptized, that they're also being catechized as part of that process. Very many times they need that as well. But then I think in a more organic way, as part of our communities, as part of our church communities, you know, if you see a new young family, if you see someone who's with their kids at church just once in a while, perhaps, you might notice a family like that in your parish. Introduce yourselves. I always want to encourage people to be a part of that process in your community. The evangelization falls on all of us. So introduce yourself, get to know somebody, find out what their story is, what their struggles are, ways that you might be able to be a support to them. And I think it's really powerful when we can mentor one another inside of the church. And this isn't some official program of the church. This is the sort of thing that should be naturally happening inside of the communities that form around our churches, around our parishes, that as families get to know one another. I know I've benefited greatly from women who have befriended me, who are just a few years ahead of me on this family life journey. And I can see and learn from their experiences. And I've tried my best to do that for other people, younger women that I might know who might be struggling in various ways, or maybe I'm not explicitly giving them advice, but just my example and sharing my experience and the way that things have worked for me can be a really encouraging thing for those younger families who might be struggling in various ways.
I think you're so right. And I think that brings in the idea of community again. You know, church isn't just about me and God. It's not about just Jesus and me. It's about the community.
I think that's a powerful point to make, for sure.
And I think that I would like to teach parenting classes in grade school. I wish that in about seventh grade.
Yeah.
Because seventh graders, they're pretty sure their parents are in a really dumb part of the world. And they're doing everything wrong. And sometimes they're right. But so if you could start teaching the kids there, and they say, oh, my parents aren't doing so bad. Or, gee, my parents, I'm not going to be like them. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many kids I see when I was doing physicals for the military who are going into the military because I don't want to be like the rest of my family.
Yeah.
And you say, I'm sorry, you know, but
right.
Yeah, I don't want you to be like what you describe either. So I think if we could start in the middle school, have some classes about how to be a parent, what parents mm-hmm. do, and then we enlarge it into senior year. And then because by senior year, you know, some of those kids are going to be changing diapers before you know it.
Right.
Not their right. own.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's very true. And I think you're right that starting young like that is important. Instilling in them the idea of vocation, instilling in them the idea of God's plan for marriage and the family, because yeah, yeah. God's plan for marriage and the family, one man and one woman and the children they have together, is a countercultural notion today. It's something that flies in the face of our culture. And yet the science backs us up, but that's the way to raise healthy, intact, and well-adjusted human beings is inside of the traditional family, and that we need moms and we need dads, and that's God's great gift to the family.
You know, there are groups like Focus. Are those things helpful in keeping kids going to church while they're in secular college?
I mean, I think programs like that are definitely helpful. We need it all. We need all of it. We don't need less. You know, we need more. So I'm very much in favor of those programs. And they definitely firm up many, many young adults in their Catholic faith or help them to rediscover it in a way that they weren't raised to know their faith at that very important point in their lives. You know, when kids are going to college, they're very much exploring some of these ideas on their own. And it's really an opportunity to evangelize them and teach them the richness of Catholic tradition.
Well, we are unbelievably out of time already. Thank you so much, Sunil, for coming to talk with us and to give us some of your wisdom. Thanks you too, our listeners. Without you, we wouldn't exist. You are listening to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world at WBOU.org. Before I sign off, one quick story. Some years ago, while walking to lunch, I noticed a young man and a small child walking in front of me. Light turned red, and as we waited for the green light, the father squatted to talk to his little son. As he did, the son squatted beside him. What a picture. Kids do what they see their parents do at every age. Country music artist Rodney Atkins, in his 2007 hit song, Watching You, hit the nail on the head. In the lyrics and in the accompanying video, the young boy curses, and when Dad asked where he heard words like that, the boy replied, I've been watching you. Later that afternoon, the son, unknown to his dad, saw his dad kneeling in prayer. Later that evening, at bedtime, the son knelt by his bed and prayed. Dad asked, where did you learn to pray like that? The son said, I've been watching you, Dad. Kids do what they see their parents do, right or wrong. So a wise man once said, don't be concerned that your kids don't hear everything you say. Be concerned that they see everything you do. Now for your homework. Get your family and friends together and go to www.parenting-matters.com and listen again to what Daniel Bean has to say about marriage, family, and the togetherness and holiness. Discuss with your spouse the possibility of you two going to the Together in Holiness conference. Then go to www.togetherinholiness.org, read about the conference, and register to go. Then return to Parenting Matters and tell us about your discussion. Thanks for listening, and if there's a topic you would like to hear discussed on Parenting Matters, let us know. We'll find an expert to tell us all about it. And may God continue to bless you and your family.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Parenting Matters with Dr. Parr Donahue. Parenting Matters is produced and recorded inside the studios at the Catholic Pastoral Center. Thanks again for listening to WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming at WBOU.org.